This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. 2015 just may be a year defined by growth and new development in La Crosse County. A number of construction projects are underway, and their success rides on the collaboration among the city, county, and business community. Here today to talk about the projects and how all the players work together are La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot and La Crosse County Board Chair Tara Johnson. Can you maybe just remind people, you know, when you do work on a project together, why is it that the city and county is working together? Mayor?
Well, I think it's really important that that collaboration happen. First off, it's what I see really is an expectation on the part of our citizens. I mean, they really have, you know, a high expectation for us to get things done. And that's one of the great things about local government, being the closest to the people and closest to the citizens. You know, we get to hear about those types of challenges, and especially if things aren't going well, we know about that. So being that close to the people and having those high expectations, I think, is something that's I know that I carry with me each and every day. And also, I think it's important because it's a better way to do things. I mean, I think being able to work together, sharing resources and sharing staff and looking at ways to jointly work on projects, whether it's the Lot C development or Park Plaza or some of the others, you just end up with a much more successful outcome in the end. And that's not to say it's not challenging at times, because it is challenging. It is much easier to just, you know, go it alone and say, yeah, we're going to just figure this out and kind of do it. But again, that expectation is from our citizens to say, let's get the most bang for the buck, and really the responsibility of helping to facilitate development. I mean, we're really looking at this not for the next year, but really for the next, you know, 40, 50, 100 years down the line. So we want to do it right.
And Tara Johnson, you've been nodding your head.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what the mayor said. And I also want to acknowledge that I think the mood is different in our community, certainly than in other parts of the state, than in other parts of the country. And I definitely want to give credit to the city leadership, both the mayor and new council leadership. It does, from my point of view, in the position of county board chair for, you know, 3.5 years or so, there definitely is a new mood in City Hall. And so I think the new leadership of the mayor and council president and new council members has meant for the county that we're actually getting things done with the city. I think we as a county have historically tried to have good working relationships with not only the city of La Crosse, but City of Onalaska, the other municipalities in the county. And perhaps it is that there's so much on our plate that we've had to work on. But I really do feel as though the mood in the city is a new kind of refreshing mood that says let's whatever it takes. And the mayor's right, sometimes it's really hard. It is really hard, but it's always, I think, the county and the city both come to those negotiations with the intent that we are going to figure out how to make it happen. And that's a really great environment in which we get to do our work at the local government level.
So let's dive into some of these projects that the city and county have been working on together. The big one that seems to be a key player in moving all these other projects in place is Lot C, which is county property, but it's in downtown La Crosse between 3rd and 4th Street. Tara, the county recently sold it to Weber Holdings for $1 million?
Correct.
And that will eventually be turned into sort of a mixed-use property. I think he's thinking about housing. Associated Bank will hopefully move there. Other
commercial
retail.
Development. Right,
yeah.
Right. So really our the county board just at the end of 2014 approved the purchase agreement with Weber Holdings to purchase Lot C. And that really is kind of the linchpin of a series of development transactions that La Crosse County is dealing with for our campus, which is downtown La Crosse. You know, if I can just go back to the beginning of that loop of transactions for us, we are in a building that was built in 1964 that has asbestos very pervasively in the building that needs to be abated. And our work in the past couple of years in studying what our options are for that building led us to the realization that we needed to get out of that building. And so kind of the first link of this series of transactions is that Stizzo Development is planning on rehabilitating that, repurposing the current admin center building for student housing. And it's cheaper for them to do that by completely gutting and rehabilitating that building when it's empty rather than what we would try to do, which is in sections, right? So we needed a new place to go. We were looking in downtown. We want to stay in the city of La Crosse, although La Crosse County has quite a bit of property in other parts of the county, including West Salem, where our Lakeview development is. But we were committed to staying downtown, so we looked for property downtown. Long story short, we found the Associated Bank building. So our plan is to purchase...
State and Six.
Correct. Thank you. Our plan is to purchase the Associated Bank building and repurpose that for administrative center offices. We will do a small addition to our Health and Human Services building in addition to that. And Associated Bank then needs a place to go. They want to stay in downtown La Crosse. They want to be on a high traffic intersection. So they were very happy to look at Lot C, and the Weber Holdings proposal accommodates Associated Bank to be on their square block of development. So all of those transactions lead to a repurposed building for student housing in what is currently the county admin building, and us moving to Associated moving to Lot C, which would be part of, as you referenced, $35, $40 million in development on that prime chunk of real estate that is currently a surface parking lot owned by La Crosse County, generating no tax dollars. And for me, the other thing that's really important to this whole equation is the city vision plan many years ago. Mayor, maybe you remember when that was first written. I don't remember that year, sorry. But the city vision 2020 plan said this, you know, Lot C is not what we want to have there. And so we, all of these decisions that the county is making, really that path was paved by the work of city vision planning to say, let's do something more on that square block of prime real estate in downtown La Crosse. And so it's kind of work from long ago coming to fruition, and also a lot of hard work on the part of recent county boards leading to that sale of Lot C to Weber Holdings.
So, Mayor, even though this is county property, what's the city's role in the Lot C development?
Well, let me just first state that I applaud the county for moving forward with encouraging development on that parcel, because as Tara said, it's been a surface parking lot and not generating any tax base, and the fact that the work that they've done with Weber Holdings and the developer that truly has a huge opportunity here to transform that part of the downtown, not only Lot C, but areas around it, very similar to what we've witnessed with the Riverside Center campus, more on the southern part of downtown along the river. So the fact that you're going to be, you know, basically taking a surface lot and having, you know, 90 plus housing units, 500 plus jobs, retail there, it is, again, very, very significant for the downtown. The city, you know, our role really is to try to help work with the county, work with the developer, primarily, you know, working through our processes when it comes to things like the zoning and the types of architecture and that. So those things have been ongoing and will continue. The big challenge, of course, is how do you deal with the parking? I think we've made really good progress. I give a lot of, again, credit to the developer, especially at the really towards the end of the negotiations to allow for some time for the city, the county, really all the parties to come up with the best plan for parking. And so that is going to take us some time. And we know through a recent study that we do have some deficiencies of our current parking supply. And I would argue that this is really not a problem. This is a good thing to have in a downtown like we have, which I, you know, would argue that it's the best downtown in the state of Wisconsin. We have, you know, parking demands. That's because people are working downtown. They're living downtown. They want to come for arts and nightlife and, you know, go out to eat and all those kinds of things. So we do have to provide parking as a part of that. And the city has a long history of doing that. And really what we're getting to now is looking at what makes the most sense from a location standpoint, because we want to try to not only provide parking for Lot C, but for, you know, kind of the immediate environment there or the surroundings. And then, you know, what's the – how many spaces and how it's financed are those next questions that we'll be looking at realistically over probably the next year or two.
So city and county will likely be paying into the parking.
The county has committed the purchase price, so the $1 million – purchase price from Weber Holdings to the parking solution. And I think what the mayor noted, that having the time to work on developing the best solution for a parking arrangement for not just Lot C, but the other demands that the city has for parking came when we were able to, you know, kind of decouple the urgency of the county's timeline that is being driven by all of those developments needing to happen. And, you know, we still hope to have simultaneous closings on all of those real estate transactions in the month of January. But when we could decouple the pressure of our time frame from we got to have a parking solution, we got to have a parking solution, really, I think, is what paved the way to having an understanding among all three parties that we were going to be able to work on a solution. And so we know at a minimum that the county will be committing the $1 million in the purchase price towards those parking arrangements. We also have made a commitment to the city that we will work on some additional funding, some WEDC, Wisconsin Economic Development Commission grant dollars, and some CDBG grant application. So county staff will be working to try and leverage some additional grant dollars to go towards the parking solution. So that's, you know, that's kind of our ante in to the parking solution.
So grant dollars could go towards the funding or go towards parking, and then city funding will cover the rest of the parking.
Correct. And I think that's a very significant aspect of this. And again, it's very important that the, you know, I part of the, you know, the differences maybe or just some of the challenges that we were trying to deal with, not only timing, but again, how do you structure financing something? The fact that the county is stepping up and pledging the proceeds, which are, you know, very significant dollars, $1 million, plus working with us to pursue other funding through the state and through the feds, is a big piece of this. And what we've been really looking at all along is to figure out a way, and not only with the Lot C development, but with all of our developments, is the new development that happens and the taxes that's generated from that new development, to utilize those taxes or those resources to help pay off our borrowing or the infrastructure that we need through the tax increment financing. So this gets us, you know, moved forward in a very significant way. And again, the time allows us to really hopefully come up with a solution there that will meet Lot C needs, but also some of the other needs in that part of the downtown.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about growth and development in La Crosse and how the city and county work together. My guests are La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot and La Crosse County Board Chair Tara Johnson. Tara, I want to talk also about the Park Plaza deal, which just went through. The board agreed to sell it for $600,000 to kind of a consortium of local developers. Can you talk a bit about that? And then I guess we'll talk about what role the city will play in that as well.
La Crosse County became the owner of that portion of Barron Island, or Park Plaza as it's commonly referred to. So it's the kind of the north tip of what to me looks like a knife blade of Barron Island that is kind of on that the gap between the city of La Crosse and La Crescent. So at the northern tip of that land, Water Place One already owns. there's this midsection that used to have the Holiday Inn on it back in the day. And we became the owners of that property when taxes were delinquent and we foreclosed on that property. And that was actually back in, I think, 2001. So we've been sitting on that property for a long time. And we have worked many times with the city of La Crosse to try and sell that land. The city has a lot of investment in that property as well because there are utilities and easements and other things, and the mayor can probably go into better detail than I can. But as the owner of that property in the city of La Crosse, we worked with the city probably, I think, four times to try and find a buyer and someone who wanted to develop that, you know, great piece of real estate. It's on the water. You know, it's on the slough there, the backwaters of the Mississippi, and it's the entryway into the city and into the county, and it just never worked out. And I think it's also a reminder that we've been in pretty tough economic times, that the last time we thought we had a deal that the city and county had found someone, you know, we were kind of moving into the recession, and it, so three or four attempts never worked out. So for me, this is kind of right up there with Lot C in what we were able to get done on the county side in 2014 is come to terms with Water Place One to purchase that property. They plan some really great housing for that piece of property, and they are going to work with the city. They already have approval from the city on the initial design of that. I think as a result of buying the piece of property from us, they may be shifting the exact location of those housing units from that narrower piece up on the north end of the land to kind of the wider chunk that they are buying from us. But the city, I know, has already worked with them and have given initial approval on the initial location of that housing. So another great, you know, we've been at this for a long time trying to sell Park Plaza, and we finally were able to accomplish that in 2014. So the city will take over some work on zoning and getting that plan development approved.
And with both of these projects, Lot C and Park Plaza, you both talked about how, you know, it's getting land that wasn't being taxed. It's getting, you know, properties on the tax rolls. So what sort of benefit could that have for the city and the county?
Well, I mean, it's huge, especially for the city, because we have such a large number of tax-exempt properties and uses in the city. We really, you know, try to work very, very hard at not only keeping properties on the tax roll, so we look at every request for tax exemption with a very critical eye, but also when the opportunity presents itself to take something that was underutilized or tax exempt and put it back on the rolls, it will be very significant. I'm not quite sure of the value estimates of Park Plaza, but you know, if you even have just a conservative estimate, you're talking $35 to $40 million of tax base with those two projects between Lot C and Park Plaza. That it'll take a couple years for that to be fully realized, but that is a very significant thing. And with the additional tax base, that helps everybody. It helps our taxpayers, it helps the county, it, you know, helps to lower mill rates, it does all those good things for our citizens.
I would just add, from my perspective on the county side of things, this is also the Park Plaza example is a reminder to me of the benefit, the value of using TIFs in a very effective way. That, you know, we are selling that property for $600,000. We have significantly more invested in it than that through improvements, abatement. It had, I think, some oil tanks under it, and the purchase price is not covering the full investment of county dollars in that ownership of that land for the past 14 or 15 years since taking it on foreclosure, but the TIF will pay out. So that will be a successful TIF. And that means exactly what the mayor has just said. It's good news for the city. It's good news for the county taxpayers that that tool of a TIF is doing exactly what it's supposed to do, which is incent economic development and establish a tax base that repays the costs that were incurred in taking it from a foreclosed property, clearing that site, doing all the abatement. I know the city has put quite a bit of work in also sewer and water lines and so forth. So that tool of a TIF has been a critically important part of the sale of that property, and those dollars will come back to both city and county taxpayers in the long run.
And obviously TIFs are something that can be quite controversial. Right. You know, not everyone's happy about TIFs.
That's why I mentioned it.
Yeah, right.
Because to me, it's a good example of how it did pay.
You know, and one thing people might have about some, I guess, more about Lot C rather than Park Plaza is just like if you are a city resident, you know, you have your city tax dollars going towards this project, but you also have your county tax dollars going towards this project. So it's like you're paying for it twice, whereas someone, you know, who lives outside of the city, maybe investing less into the project. I mean, is that something, how do you address an issue like that? And is that something that should be of concern to taxpayers?
It's one of those challenges that we really, it's difficult to fix at the local level. That really is a Madison fix, the inequities in our local property tax system, because you do make a very valid point that city residents are also county residents, and so we do have our local property taxes that go to the city and the county. And because of the nature of our situation, and we're a bit unique, and in some ways, and you know, in other ways, we're just like every other central city in Wisconsin. But for the most part, the jobs and the livelihoods of most of the county residents are in the city of La Crosse, and so they're coming into and out of the city, you know, probably 5 days a week, and the you know, transportation demands, the parking demands, all of those types of things are, you know, I would argue should have a regional solution, which would mean that those residents in Holman and Unalaska and other places should not only have the benefits of the jobs and the new development and those kinds of things, but they should share somewhat in the cost in providing them. And again, that's really a Madison fix. We have tried to address it at the local level, and I'll admit I probably, you know, it was maybe a ham-handed approach, but, you know, this last budget process, I did reach out to the county on things like the libraries and some neighborhood revitalization mm-hmm. requests to say, is there a way that we can try to get more, you know, resources coming from the county to help out with some of these projects. So it is a bigger, you know, statewide issue, and I think that's one of the unfortunate things, at least that I don't really hear anybody in Madison talking about. It, you know, the focus is on other. When you're talking taxes, it's usually tax cut versus if we could allocate the taxes that are currently in play in a better, more equitable way. I think we could make a lot more progress in getting the state on the right track. So I'll step off my soapbox now.
Well, and we'll dive into that in just a few minutes. But Tara, did you want to add anything at this point?
I would add that this is really the rub for the city and the county. And, you know, just to go back to Lot C as, you know, maybe a more specific example, that the county and the city have different responsibilities. So this notion of the live-work patterns that the mayor raised, where people who live anywhere except in the city of La Crosse who come into the city of La Crosse for a job probably travel on county roads, just as an example. So the county has the responsibility of maintaining those roads. We have over $80 million of unmet road needs for all of the county roads that we have. And that includes bridges and, you know, lots of things. But that's the unmet demand on county roads. And so how do we use county property tax dollars appropriately to support those roads that people drive on to come into the city and use, the, you know, park in a city parking ramp that the city of La Crosse is subsidizing? Because I think the mayor would agree that there, you know, we're not paying market rate for parking right now in the city of La Crosse. This is what we have to figure out, is exactly what the mayor said, a more equitable or fair distribution of the tax burden that really reflects the demand for services, the use of services effectively. And I agree with him 100%. This is not something we're going to fix in the city of La Crosse or La Crosse County. It's got to be done at the state level. And I, too, am disappointed that this is not what we're hearing. The newly sworn in elected officials in Madison talking about. It wasn't in any of the news clips that I heard yesterday. They're talking about other things. And this is really bread and butter, meat and potato stuff for city taxpayers, for county taxpayers in La Crosse County. So I share that frustration 100%.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about growth and development in La Crosse and how the city and county work together. Should we zoom through some of the other development projects in the works,
sure,
just to sort of round out this half?
I can zoom pretty quickly if that works.
Yeah, Mayor Cabot, just projects underway in the city.
Well, I think, you know, there's some exciting ones that are in various kind of stages of construction, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
There are two hotels downtown that are, you know, the Hampton Inn is vertical. It's above the ground. It's moving forward. The Charmont Hotel is another one. Those are really key pieces because what it does not only for, again, redeveloping and adding jobs and tax base, but it helps to it's really part of the necessary infrastructure for our La Crosse Center and for attracting events and conferences and conventions. So that's an important piece. There's a couple of housing projects that will be working with developers to support their applications for tax credits, which is the redevelopment of the former Bacalar Sausage Company down on South Avenue. It's a historic building. It was the Armory at one point, and we would look for that historic tax credits and some low-income housing tax credits to hopefully be realized and start this year. And the same with Roosevelt School on the north side. That is no longer needed by the school district since they've opened the beautiful new Northside School. And we're working with them and the developer, again, to try to be successful in tax credits so that that building can be utilized. And then, again, we've got some big projects, the former train plant 6, that 12-acre piece. We're working on infrastructure right now so that hopefully can take off this year. It's just west of the former footwear building right there on George Street. And if folks are driving by, they, you know, have maybe noticed over the last couple months.
It's a dirt pile.
Big, huge piles of mm-hmm. dirt. Some of it's environmental remediation, and most of it is to get the property up out of the floodplain. So those are real significant projects. And then as well, the mobile oil site now called the Riverside mm-hmm. North Redevelopment Area. That's another one that...
And nobody's bid on that yet?
No, not yet. We'll be... Actually, we've got money set aside in our capital budget to work on street property acquisition for our street network. That's really kind of the first piece besides the environmental and the fill for the floodplain. It's getting that infrastructure installed and getting that kind of, you know, that pump primed and ready to go.
And Tara Johnson, maybe if you want to update people on the Lakeview Health Center.
We will be opening up bids again for the new Lakeview Healthcare Center to replace, again, a very old 1960s institutional mental health facility to a more community-based, smaller unit set of facilities out there. That's almost a $17 million project for La Crosse County out in the village of West Salem. I would also note that the Lot C, that whole sequence of transactions that I mentioned, means that we have almost $20 million of work in the city of La Crosse between those buildings that we are working on, the renovation and repurposing of the Associated Bank building and the addition to the Health and Human Services building. So we have those two big development projects. We're also doing some radio system upgrades. And we have quite a bit of road work that we are doing. So the jurisdictional transfer between County Trunk Highway C and State Trunk Highway 108 will mean about $4 million worth of road work out there in the next couple of years. County Trunk B in the city of La Crosse, there's about $1 million worth of work being done there along River Valley Drive. And we have a couple of conservation projects, smaller conservation projects we're working on. And then one other piece, the state has in the past many years pushed to regionalize services especially in the area of human services and public health and preparedness. And La Crosse is consistently the regional center for a number of adjoining counties, and some of that regionalization is happening in human services, in 2015. So we'll be adding some positions there. We'll be adding some employees in downtown La Crosse and a couple of neighborhood social workers who will be working with the community resource officers from the city on more neighborhood-based prevention and intervention services there. So maybe that is something we can talk about more in the collaboration part of our conversation, the non-development
and the part property of our... acquired by the county landfill that the city or the
Schrader
county...
property. Yeah, yeah, thank you. See, my list is too long.
Oh, it's
I can't
okay.
get through it all.
Yeah, and that was acquired for $500,000, which I think some people have questioned. Why is a vacant home near a landfill mm-hmm. that much money?
Yeah, that's about half the price that they were asking for a couple of years ago. So they've reduced the price. And what it does, again, this is going to lead to more collaboration with not only the city of La Crosse, but the city of Onalaska, that the realignment of the entryway into the landfill that is on our list of needs creates an opportunity to work with those two cities to open up some larger parcels of land that can be developed for commercial development that would be adjacent to or in the International Business Park up along Highway 16. And my understanding is, in talking with Jim Hill from LADCO, that there are no certified lot, I think it's called, in the economic development world. So you have a large enough commercially developable lot that has water, that has sewer, and there's a great shortage of those in western Wisconsin. La Crosse County hasn't had a site like that for many, many, many years. So the purchase of the Schrader property by the county helps us realign the entry to make it safer into the landfill, but it also has the potential to open up and perhaps create a frontage road up there that will allow more development in the coming years.
Tara Johnson is the La Crosse County Board Chair, and Tim Cabot is La Crosse's Mayor. Today, we were talking about growth and development in La Crosse and how the city and county work together. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, we'll continue our conversation with the mayor and county board chair about other initiatives underway in the community. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, photos, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. While many development projects are underway throughout La Crosse County, there are plenty of other initiatives keeping local officials busy this year. Today, we're talking with La Crosse County Board Chair Tara Johnson and La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot about what's in store for 2015. So in the last half, you both sort of touched on just issues in Madison and how they affect funding at the local level. Obviously, the new legislature was sworn in this week, as well as the governor sworn into his second term. So what are you keeping your eye on, and maybe what are you talking about with our elected state officials, and just how these different, you know, initiatives that could be on the horizon, like potential property tax cuts, how could those be affecting you all at the local level and us as residents? Tim Cabot?
Well, I'll just jump in, and we're very concerned, and you know, we're really trying to understand what the future is going to hold for shared revenue as well as personal property taxes, because there has been dialogue, especially when it comes to the elimination of personal property taxes that would have significant impacts to the cities, you know, just our overall operations, as well as what I find interesting, of course, at the state level is really the focus on reducing property taxes. And we all know that for the most part, the property tax are your schools and your local government. And so the fact that we're already constrained with our levy limits, and I think overall, at least I can say for La Crosse, we have, you know, adjusted to those constraints, and we have a very creative staff and programs to still, I think, provide very high quality services at great value for what people have to pay locally for their property taxes. But shared revenue, which is this agreement, you know, a long historic agreement, I believe it was 1911 when that program was instituted, because the state granted tax exemptions to certain uses and because cities, towns, villages, and counties have to provide services to those tax-exempt uses, the state at that time said, well, we're going to provide those local governments with a chunk of the overall amount that we collect statewide. And so for a city like La Crosse, you know, a historic city, central city that's had, you know, churches and universities and hospitals for a long time, shared revenue represents about 20% of our overall budget. And at least, you know, the concern is if there are significant cuts to shared revenue, that would mean significant cuts to our local services, because, again, it really, when the state is trying to deal with property tax reductions, that all comes down to the local level. So that's one of the things that we're really trying to anticipate, and how do we prepare ourselves for that? There's really not a lot of great ideas out there. It's more of, again, just trying to roll up your sleeves, working with staff, trying to figure out ways to do things more efficiently, more effectively at the local level. But at some point, the cuts, and we saw that a few years ago where there was some dramatic cuts at the local level. At some point, the reality is going to be that there will have to be cuts. There will have to be programs that are either reduced or eliminated, staff changes, those kinds of things, which, you know, I think everybody is very concerned about.
And Tara Johnson?
You know, this is coming on the heels of years of cuts already, that the erosion has been happening over a number of years in shared revenues. And in the case of the county, the funding tends to be for a wide range of services. And we have in the past, you know, 4-6 years, we've been local governments have been cut and cut and cut and cut. And what we have heard in Madison is that we're somehow being irresponsible. And this is a way to make everybody at the local level on up be more accountable to taxpayers. And it's so frustrating because the last time I checked, the city of La Crosse did not have a structural deficit. I know that La Crosse County does not have a structural deficit. Pretty sure the state does. So it comes, you know, for me at the local level, it really comes across from a very disingenuous point of view that somehow Madison knows better how to fiscally manage government. The evidence is not there. We have the city of La Crosse County has a better bond rating than the state of Wisconsin. We have strong fiscal policies. We have bought, you know, those good bond ratings. We have reserves. We have every indicator at the local level, both at the city of La Crosse and La Crosse County, that we are very good stewards of local taxpayer dollars. That cannot be said at the same level in Madison. And so it's not only this history of they've been cutting and reducing shared revenue, and now they're going to have the next great plan for telling local governments how to be more responsible in spending taxpayer dollars. But it comes from, you know, this position of authority where they can make that decision, but their track record is really not exemplary at all in terms of how to be fiscally responsible. So it's really frustrating, you know, just on the surface. But when you think of that historical context, it's profoundly disturbing that there would be, you know, these threats, in essence, that we're going to have to, as the mayor said, figure out more ways to tighten our belt. So we've been doing that, and we have a lot of evidence to show that we leverage our dollars very effectively. We get done with less a lot more than lots of other communities, and certainly more so than the state. So,
I mean, is it one of those things you can start, if these cuts are on the horizon, you have to start planning now?
Absolutely.
As far as what those
I mean, we do it every budget cycle. Yeah. We do it. We try. It's very hard in Wisconsin to do multi-year budgeting. The state does a biennial budget, but we have for probably the last 10 years, especially under the leadership of Steve O'Malley as our county administrator, worked really hard to do multi-year planning and try to prepare for, you know, continued decreases in shared revenue. And I'm sure this is true for the city, but the other thing we experience at the county is they expect more of us, right? The demand for services is not lessening, even though shared revenue is decreasing.
Mayor Cabot?
We do prepare and are trying to prepare for that. You know, 2015, our budget and what's happening at the state is pretty well set, but for 2016, that, you know, the governor's budget message will be coming out here sometime in the next month, and we'll start reacting to that, you know, as soon as that's delivered, because it will mean significant changes for local units of government. And I really feel, and it's interesting because of what we were just talking about a few minutes ago, all of the development projects and the collaboration and the investment that local government is trying to make and to work with our private entities and the developers and businesses to grow jobs and grow tax base. Because with those positives, that's really how especially when you look at Wisconsin compared to other states and job growth and growth in real estate values and all that, that's how you grow the resources, if you will, to provide these services. It's not necessarily by cutting, but it's by investing. And I think at the local level, as the county board chair was talking about, we have a track record of working on very successful projects. You know, and looking at the mirror, so to speak, as a local official, we need to do a better job of trying to work with the state to be a partner in these solutions and offering ideas and recommendations at the local level where the rubber meets the road. And it really is you know, our responsibility to make that effort and to try even harder than we have in the past to build that relationship with the state, because there's so many great examples all around the state of, you know, collaborative projects and public-private partnerships to do these things. And if I guess that's what I would be hoping through our League of Municipality Associations, and I know the Wisconsin Counties Associations, trying to build better relationships with our state legislators and the governor, because, you know, we don't want to just stand here and stamp our feet and say, you know, woe is us, everything is you know, bad. We have to come up with solutions, but it does get frustrating at times because the proof is in the pudding, so to speak, and especially in the Cooley region, you know, we're the second, we have the second best unemployment rate in the state of Wisconsin next to the metro area of the Madison area. Our economy here is very diverse. We have growth in all those areas, and it's because of our citizens, it's because of our businesses and our community, the people here that make it so special. I think there's a lot that can be learned from in Madison, from, you know, places like La Crosse and the Cooley region, and how we can grow the whole state and how we can focus on moving everybody forward and rather than, again, going through another round of, now do we cut branch, you know, do we close branch libraries? Does the county, you know, cut services to those folks who are most in need? I mean, that's the kind of thing that just gets to be very, very challenging.
So let's talk about other things besides developments that the city and county are working on. Mayor, you just mentioned the libraries, and just to remind people, you know, there was funding issues and this threat that maybe the South Branch Library could close last year or the year before. And it was asked that the county chip in some money. Where do you all stand on that?
For us, really in 2015, we've got a couple of core priority areas that we're focused on. Neighborhoods, obviously, mm-hmm. is still going to be one of those front and center, as well as we kind of talked about some of those development issues, but then some of the changes in City Hall with our restructuring, the downsizing of council, reorganizing and merging some of our departments. So those are the areas that we're really going to be focused on here in the upcoming year. When it comes to neighborhoods, the county board chair, you know, talked about the neighborhood level social workers partnering up with our neighborhood resource officers. We've already seen so much positive from the four community police officers, the two in the Washburn neighborhood, two in the Lower North Side neighborhood. We're looking to try to expand that into more parts of the city. We're going to continue to work on our housing issues and code enforcement. So really the notion of, again, addressing those challenges, because we know that you know, our goal is to make La Crosse the number one choice, number one destination for people to live here, because that will help alleviate some of those things we were talking about earlier, transportation and parking and whatnot. And in order to do that, there are certain challenging, you know, areas in the city that we've got to address, and I really feel good about how we're addressing that. You know, the library, that issue is not resolved by any means. I think, again, credit to the library board and others who looked at making some reductions and using some other carryover and some things to get us through this next couple of years. But we still need a longer term, more viable solution, and we're going to be looking at collaborating and partnering with the county and school district and other nonprofits to see if there's ways that we can come up with a better program there. And then one of the other things on the transportation side, when it comes to our neighborhoods, we're going to be doing an MTU circulator this year, which is basically buses dedicated to kind of the central part of the city that are going to be doing a 10-minute loop in our neighborhoods, and really trying to enhance our transit services and our ridership, again, as a way to alleviate the congestion that's in the campus area, the parking challenges not only there but downtown. So there are a lot of great things when it comes to the neighborhoods, and I'll maybe have the county board chair jump in with some others there.
Yeah, too. I mean, since these are, you know, they're city neighborhoods, but they're within La Crosse County, so
absolutely,
the county's role in all of this.
Yeah, so the county definitely believes that the strength, the health of the city of La Crosse, which is the core of our county, is imperative to the entire county. So as lots of people have heard me say, whither thou goest, right? If the city of La Crosse is strong and our core is strong, the county is going to be strong. This collaboration with the city is really not new. As I mentioned at the beginning of the hour, it does feel good that there's a new mood and new leadership in City Hall, because I think we've accomplished more in terms of collaboration in recent history. But the county knows that the city needs to be strong, and so we are, as the mayor referenced, connecting services from the county into those neighborhoods where the greatest need is. So where we have
workers.
Right. So neighborhood social workers who will work with the community resource officers at the city to be not in the admin center up in an office somewhere in the Health and Human Services building, but out in the neighborhoods and really collaborating not just with police officers and social workers, but the faith-based community and the, you know, kind of the natural networks that are in place in those neighborhoods with the neighborhood associations, so that those resources are out into especially the most fragile neighborhoods. So it'll be Powell Pogue Hamilton, I think lower north side, the Depot neighborhood, and really trying to connect resources for families before they need emergency services or before they need intervention. So it's really a prevention model. So that's ramping up in 15. We think by, I think, July 1, we will have those social workers on board and in place and really connected to those natural supports in the neighborhoods.
Is the county then kicking in additional funds to help with other neighborhood revitalization projects?
We committed in 2014 to the train neighborhood revitalization, which was a very new decision for La Crosse County Board. I think the total potential there is $350,000, $250,000 from the county, an additional $100,000, hoping to leverage dollars from other municipalities. And I think the mayor has been working on that. So that was kind of our first foray into it.
And the libraries?
Yep, the libraries and just other neighborhood development, in particular on libraries. It is a complex conversation, and I think the most important thing is for us to, along with the city, to be sitting at the table and figuring out what is the solution that we want for our community. And I think this is one of those cases where it doesn't require a Madison fix. This is one that we can come up with on our own. The county hopes to be at the table in the conversation. And what makes it complex is that the county has a library system, and we tax county residents who do not live in the city for the services that they get through the county library system. So there are issues like double taxation. You know, we have to avoid those things, and we have to be respectful of the state statutes that gives authority to library boards, both the city library board and the county library board. They really have the authority for making decisions about dollars. So I'm hopeful that we'll be sitting at a table during 2015 to figure out a longer-term solution for libraries. I mean, the issue is this, you know, is the South Branch Library going to stay open or not? But I think it is a great opportunity to look at how do we collaborate and solve this problem, but can it be a model for other things?
La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot and La Crosse County Board Chair Tara Johnson were talking about projects underway this year within the city and county of La Crosse. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio and La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Stroob, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.